big round of applause as we welcome her up.
Good morning. Wow. Good morning. Oh my gosh. Got to get some joy in the house. Everybody say good morning. That's better. Let's just pray and then I'll talk and then the Holy Spirit's just going to do something. Cool? Dear Lord, we just thank you for this morning. I pray that you would just use me as your vessel, God, that you would speak, soften our hearts. Holy Spirit, you're just so welcome in this house. And I pray that as we baptize your children this morning, you would just make change permanent in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's all sit down. Sit down and chill for a sec. I'm excited. Sorry, I talk really loud. So if you want to turn me down a bit, that's totally fine. Everybody turn to the person next to you and say, you are blessed to be a blessing. Hallelujah. I don't know, I'm like Alvin Slaughter on the inside. I fully believe it, yes. I think when I preach, I like to have some sort of interaction with the crowd. Like, I don't like to talk and then everyone's just sitting there. Like, I don't know. It just makes it feel kind of flat. Does everyone agree? Yes, Jerry's with me. Yes. So when I preach or when I talk, when you get something, just say yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Because that's when you get pumped up. I think church has to be a place where you're just like, oh, where you're just like on fire. Yes. I'm on that Holy Spirit high from like camp, which was last week. I'm like still there. It's still fresh. I'm still going. I'm still excited. And I want all of us to have that energy in the place. That's better. Let's get started, shall we? Let's get straight into the Bible. If you have your Bible, let's open to Matthew 3:3-17. While you're turning there, I'll just get excited about baptism. Who's getting baptized? Raise your hand. Any baptisms this morning? Yes. Couple over here. Couple. Yes. Yes. I'm excited. I'm going to talk a little bit about baptism this morning and just the power of what it is. And I think that there's going to be a lot of change this morning. I'm super excited. I'm believing and I'm trusting God that He's just going to do something in your lives and we're all going to celebrate with you. Yeah? Is everybody there? Matthew 3:13-17. Here we go. I'm going to read from my... I bought a new Bible. It's so pretty. I'm just in love with it. Okay, Matthew 3:13. Then Jesus came from Galilee. Let me just set the context first. So John is in the river baptizing people. Jesus walks down. Oh, look at that. Wow, I didn't even ask for that. Oh, you guys are the best. Awesome. Okay, so yeah, we've got the context. John is there baptizing people. That's his role. Then along comes Jesus. And he's like, baptize me. If you were John, I'd just be like, are you serious? This guy's crazy. Anyway, let's read. I'm just getting sidetracked. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. What a baptism. Whoa. Imagine if you got baptized and then the heavens opened and then God's just like, this is my Son. Like, that would be crazy. Baptism is a powerful thing. And even when you think about the elements of baptism, like when you're in water, fully submerged, I was just thinking about that, just water itself. And when you think about water, it's actually really powerful. And I think to be baptized by water is significant in itself. When you think about water, right? I was recently at the Jenolan Caves. Anyone been to the Jenolan Caves before? Yes. What an awesome place. Like, it's kind of creepy when you're walking down and there's no lights and you're just like, ooh, there's bats and like it's scary. But I went there and the caves are massive. Like, you walk in, you do a tour, there's little pathways and you look around and you're like, oh, what's down there? And all the caves are like connected, like, and you can walk through and it's awesome. It's really awesome. So we were on this tour and, you know, there's always like people on the tour who kind of ruin it for everyone. Ever been on a... Yeah, okay. So I'll just set the scene. We're all walking through and the tour guide has to wait for everyone to be in a certain part of the cave to turn the lights on. So we're all there, we're waiting, and Pat was there. Shout out to Pat. We're at the front of the line waiting for the next section of lights to be turned on because everyone's waiting. And we look back and here's like the two people in our tour who are walking down this like one person set of stairs, just taking photos of everything. And they've got 40 people behind them, just like, oh, are you guys serious? You guys are taking so long. Those were the annoying people on my tour. Anyway, so they all caught up and we're all waiting in this dark room. And then the tour guide turns on the lights. And you can just see the whole cave just illuminated. You see grooves in the walls and pathways to different areas of the cave. And it's just like, what? I just thought it was so cool that there was so much detail in something that could potentially never be discovered. And anyway, you look at the walls and they're just so smooth and you're surrounded by rock, but it doesn't feel harsh. It just feels really soft. And so the tour guide starts talking about the history of the cave and how it was discovered and how it was formed. And she was like, at a point in history, the cave that we're standing in was fully submerged in water. And I'm like, whoa, imagine the crazy creatures that would have lived in here. Like, it was just so cool. I was picturing this massive shark that it would have just been in there and I was like, whoa! But anyway, it was underwater at one point. And that's how you get all the grooves in the cave and the passages to the other areas. And you think about rock and you think that's pretty permanent thing. That's a pretty, like, hard thing to move, but you're in this massive cave which was a massive rock and it looks like the water has just melted it like butter. It's crazy. So, like, everyone just close your eyes. I like to get visual because I'm a visual learner. Just picture a massive, massive rock. Just imagine it's your rock, for example. The rock is you. Then imagine just water completely flooding it, overtaking it, being submerged, and then it making ways through your rock, shaping it into this beautiful cave that the Holy Spirit can make a way in. Everyone open your eyes. That was just a little visual thing. That's what I was picturing when I was in the cave. It was awesome. So anyway, you're in the cave and there's just this softness about it and it's awesome. And then you realize that that cave hasn't been underwater for a very long time. It's been just chilling. No tours have been going on in it. There hasn't been like big storms and there hasn't been a flood. Like, it's just been dry forever. But you can still see where the current flowed inside. you look around and you can still see the smoothness on the rock, and you can still see the big hollow area at the top where the water once came down and flowed through. It's just this space where you could see where the water was. And that was thousands and thousands of years ago. Yet the mark is still there. Do you guys see like where I'm going? That's where we're going to go. And if you want to go there, let's go there. I don't think God makes certain things significant for no reason. When I think of what baptism is, it's the purification of your soul and it's the transformation of who you are as an individual. When you think about the power of water and what that does to a cave, then you think about the Holy Spirit and what that can do to a person. Does anybody get that? If I can stand in a cave and see the remnants of water thousands of years later, I can look at a person and see the mark of Christ. Do you see where I'm going? Are people getting this? You can see the mark of the Holy Spirit on their life. And baptism is so awesome because God uses just such practical things like water. You need water to live. Everything in the world needs water to live. But I just thought it was cool to focus on how powerful water can be. Water transforms. And I think when people step into that tub, they will come out transformed. I just think that's cool. I think once you make a decision for God, it's an awesome step to take, baptism, because you're just giving the Holy Spirit completely free reign over your life and submerging into the Spirit, into the water to become transformed, coming up out of it, and then going on with your life. Because it's crazy that the cave that I was in, that will never go back to the way it was before the water was in there. It made currents and effects in the walls that can't be undone. Yet how much more permanent is the power of God than water? There's erosion that can still happen to the rock. It can still be changed and it might collapse one day, you never know. But the power of the Holy Spirit will come in, make pathways, soften your heart, renew your mind, open your eyes to the things unseen. And that's a change that can't be undone. And that's why I think baptism is so important, because it's an outward expression of that inner change. Has everyone in the room been baptized? Yeah? I know that when I got baptized, like, it's a symbolic thing. So you may not feel like you're being changed in the pool, but when you get out and you start to just live your life like you were, things are different. And you're walking around and you can feel that shift and you're just like, oh, I see that differently now, or I feel differently. There's discernment. There's different pathways that God has made inside your cave, and you're changed from the inside out. Yeah? The cool thing about the Bible is it's a good read if you've read it before. And I was reading just about baptism and when Jesus got baptized and just the order of things and it's pretty cool how it all happened. So Jesus goes to get baptized, gets baptized, heaven opens. And then after he gets baptized, he gets tempted straight away. I don't think that's a coincidence. I think that's in there for a reason. It's literally like, if you look in your Bible, it's seriously the next passage. It's exactly after the baptism of Jesus. It goes, It goes, I'm getting too excited. You know when you get too excited and your mouth just can't keep up with your brain? That's just what happened. Anyway, it's the baptism of Jesus and then it's the temptation of Jesus straight after. I don't think that's a mistake because Jesus was God and, you know, he was perfect in every way. But he even said, to fulfill all righteousness, I've got to be baptized. And then straight after that happened, he's tempted. It was that final piece of the puzzle that clicked in, and then Jesus was tempted. He started to heal the sick. He started to preach. He started to make change because of the change that finally locked in and set him ready to go. That's what set him on the path, and he's like, okay, let's do this. I'm ready to go. As soon as he came out of the water, it was on. Because of what the Holy Spirit had just come in, locked it in, it's on, let's go. He was ready for it. And I'm not preaching for very long. I was only going to talk about baptism and all that kind of stuff, but I feel like it's really important to realize the power of the Holy Spirit. That was a big thing on camp when we were away. It was crazy. It was so crazy. Like, we were just expecting people to pray, and you know how you pray and you cry and, like, it's awesome and then everyone's happy. But the Holy Spirit just turned up in a way at camp that the team, we were just like, what just happened? Like, we prayed and we're like, yep, Holy Spirit, do your thing. And then we stood back and we're like, wow, he actually did. And now we've got 20 kids on the floor and kids praying in tongues and, like, kids filling other people with the Spirit, and then they're falling and then you're like, what? That's the power of the Holy Spirit. And even Jason, where's Jason? Is he here? No. Upstairs. Oh, what a man. Anyway, he preached on revival night and he talked about the Holy Spirit and he said something and I was just like, wow. He said, what did he say? No, I'm trying to say it how he said it, but essentially he was just saying that the Holy Spirit is a lot of the time disregarded. And he's like, when you pray, like, it's not a thing you should feel bad about, but you say you address Jesus or God, but the least one that's addressed is the Holy Spirit. And I feel like once you welcome him and you're like, do what you want with this service, do what you want in my workplace, do what you want in my life, do what you want with me today, in this hour, in this moment, he'll just charge. The Holy Spirit was given to us as a gift. People in the Old Testament were like, what are you guys doing? You've got the Holy Spirit. I had to sacrifice 85 lambs and, like, all this stuff to get a touch of what you have. And I think it's important to realize that we have that at an arm's reach. So we should grab it, hold on to it, let the Holy Spirit just do what he wants to do. Because I saw it on camp, as soon as we were like, yep, you do you, we'll just stand back and you go for it. It was so much better than what we could have ever done. Ever. and you see the Holy Spirit move and shape things that seem immovable. We've seen kids come in these doors that come in Muslim and leave Christian. You've seen kids come in here that are suicidal and walk out of here full of life. That's what the power of the Holy Spirit can do and how it can shape your cave. So I'm going to pray and then we're going to baptize people. And the Holy Spirit's going to move. And you know what? If you feel the call to get baptized and you haven't been baptized, who cares? Get baptized. It'll be awesome. Let's just do it. You've got extra clothes at home. Doesn't matter. I think we just got to get excited and get joyful about being in the house of God because it is exciting. Some of us sit in here like, yep, Sunday morning, I'll do my time and then I'll leave. No. I've been like that before. You can't be because you never know when God's going to want to show up and do something. So let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for this holy morning. I pray that as people get baptized, the Holy Spirit would just make way in their life and change them so they could never be changed back. I pray that you would open their eyes to miracles, Father. I pray that you would open their eyes to the spiritual realm. Make us aware of the spiritual battle that's going on around us, God, and give us the tools we need to just combat it, Father. We thank you, God, that you are just so above and beyond anything that we could ever dream of. And we thank you for the price that you paid on the cross for us. And thank you for giving us the beautiful gift of the Holy Spirit. I pray not for one moment, not for one day, that we would take you for granted. You are just so welcome in our lives, in our church. Soften us, Father, from the inside out. Make waves in our spirit, God, so we would be discerned. We would feel convicted to do things your way, God. Let us stand courageously and take on the ground that you have given us, God. We pray for our community that we would just take it for your kingdom, God. We would be bold and fearless. We pray, God, for the kids, the generations that are just upcoming, that they would grow up knowing your word and your truth. They wouldn't be swayed by society's norms, God, but they would be true to who you are and who you've called them to be, God. And we just pray that as we baptize your believers this morning, Father, that you would just ignite them with a fire that would never go out, God. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your greatness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your patience. We thank you for your healing power. And God, we just pray that this morning, the Holy Spirit would just have its way in this place, God. Thank you, God, for you are so amazing. And what an honor it is to call you our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.